Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning Podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. It's Tuesday. That means we got good old Buddy Martin from the Buddy Martin Show. Second portion of today's program, we'll be joined by Swamp 24/7 Sports, Blake Alderman, get his thoughts on recruiting, what's going to happen tomorrow for the Florida Gators. But first, let's head to the Titan MRO Hotline. We're joined by Buddy Martin. You can listen to Buddy every weeknight, all those loyal listeners from around the world listening to the Martin Show.
Yeah,
good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good morning, Shane. How you doing? Yeah, we're really glad to be on. You were great last night, and it was a terrific evening for Gator fans. We got two of the Gator greats, you and Chris Doering, talking about what do you think of the new coach, Billy Napier, at first sight? Because, you know, first impressions are supposed to be everything. You can only make one first impression. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out over the next few days and the next few weeks with recruiting season upon us tomorrow, Shane.
Yeah, we're going to have Blake. I'll be honest with you, Blake, buddy, I have no idea who or if we're going to sign anybody tomorrow. Maybe Blake can fill us in. But, yeah. You know, it's tough on this coaching staff or the few coaches that he has out on the road. But I think Gator fans, majority of them, like what they've seen so far. I mean, I obviously do. I know we've had some kids go in the transfer portal, so be it. We're not going to lose any sleep over that, I can promise you.
Yeah, talking to the people last night after you were on, it was like, okay, well, here's the deal. You know, we discussed this as well. The fact that when you come as a new coach, you're going to lose players. You didn't have the transfer portal back in the day, but you still had attrition of players. And, of course, the classic case we talked about was Emmitt Smith. And there's a myth out there that Spurrier basically told him not to come back, and that's absolutely not true. It's in Steve's book that he offered him the opportunity, you know, to come back. But he's not going to kiss your butt and tell you we need you. That's not Steve's way, you know. No. So Emmitt chose the best path for himself. He did great. He was an all-time leader in the rushing leader in NFL, so it worked out. But, you know, it's hard for Gator fans to understand this. It's hard for us to understand this because we don't know what's going on in the mind of these 18, 17-year-olds. We don't know what they've been told. We don't know what's going on. I mean, we got coaches out there doing clown acts, trying to recruit players. And the other thing is I want to mention today, Shane, we can talk about it if you have time, is that I've gotten a couple of calls from people who said the transfer portal is killing recruiting. The joy of being recruited, you know, is now even John Brantley down, who didn't talk much about it, said it's taken away a part of what football's about, which is to have your player or your friend or your son recruited. And Mike Bianchi wrote a column about it, quoting us. So there's all that stuff. And Shane, there's so much stuff I can't keep up.
Yeah, it is. It's hurt. I don't know if it's killing recruiting. It's changed the way recruiting is nowadays because, you know, you can only sign 25 kids. Those used to be all high school kids. You may get a JUCO kid here or there. But now I feel like, you know, if you got the four and the five stars, the so-called elite players coming to you, you're going to sign them. But if you're not sure about some kids, you're going to hold out and save some spots for what might happen in the transfer portal. I'd be anxious to know how many kids. I guess it's public knowledge. I think people have said that they've gone to these sites and you can see who's in the portal. I've never done it.
Yeah. I had a list last night of quarterbacks. There's 18 of them in the portal. I didn't look at the site, but someone posted it. There were 18 quarterbacks last night. Now there's one less, Spencer Rattler, now in South Carolina.
Yeah, that was interesting. He obviously had a tremendous relationship with Shane Beamer while he was at Oklahoma. Yeah. So I think Spencer Rattler's a talent. He played well at times at Oklahoma. So it's going to be interesting to see how they build their offense around him. I will say this, they needed some better skill players to utilize his ability as well. But yeah, so there's it's different because high school coaches are used to so many coaches coming on campus, recruiting their kids at all levels. You know, I know it's changed a lot at the Power Five schools, but I'm going to try to talk to Kerwin and Jerry Odom, those guys that are at the lower divisions, because I know they've kind of jumped into the portal as well, but I'm curious how it's affected them as much as the Power Five schools.
The other side of that is, it's a good thing and a bad thing, that some of the schools are jammed up with athletes already because there's some six-year guys out there who got their super seniors. You know, so it isn't like if Florida didn't get, but, you know, 10 recruits, which they may, they certainly can fill the holes, well, where those out of the transfer portal, and they still got some guys who've been around a few years. So I love Coach Spurrier's attitude the year he came in there when you started and he started, when he said the probation period came along and they announced that you guys couldn't play in a bowl game. Well, he hated that. And I said, well, what would you rather do? He said, I'd rather give up players. We got plenty. We had plenty of, whether it penalized me 10 scholarships or whatever it might be. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, but, you know, here's the question. This is what we'll be talking about now for the next months or years. The question is, and excuse me for jumping in and taking over your show, but I just want to say, you have to ask the honest question. Will Gator fans be patient enough for Billy Napier to succeed, a guy who I describe as a measure twice, cut once guy? He says over and over, I'm telling you, you got to be patient. You're not going to like me sometimes. That's nice to hear and say, but the truth is Gator fans are not patient. Now, that's not a terrible thing. I mean, you should want your team to win. But I ask you, Shane, will the Gator fans eventually drive off Billy Napier?
Well, they better hunker down because I think he's going to be here a while. They're going to give him plenty of time. He's going to have all the resources that no other coaches had here, from a allotment to offer his assistance, an allotment for the off-the-field staff, the analysts and things of that nature. We're moving into that facility. So they're going to give him every opportunity. He's got a plan. Here's the biggest thing is, can we win the East next year? Probably not. But, buddy, what we have to do from this point forward is you have to win the games you're supposed to win. You can't lose to Kentucky. You can't lose to Missouri. You can't lose to South Carolina. It's that simple.
Cannot.
You can go 9-3. I mean, obviously, you don't want to lose to Georgia or LSU or the other opponent out of the West. But let's just say you lose to those three. You go 9-3, I think people can live with that until you get the right players and you build your program. But you cannot lose to those teams that you're supposed to beat, no matter how bad your team is.
100%.
Yeah. We got a Facebook Live here brought to you by Melton Law, the only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators. John asks, QB, how do you feel about Slovis in the portal? He's a pretty good passer. The kid from USC, he's a really good thrower. Had some injuries. Again, I don't know what Billy Napier is looking for at the quarterback position. We do know that he wanted the Walker Howard kid, but the kid's a legacy at LSU. Dad played quarterback there, and he signed, sealed, and delivered, dancing with Buddy's new
partner. Yeah, his
new
dancing
partner,
coach.
Is Ryan Kelly.
Am I the only person who gets offended by that? I understand. I understand. You have to play the game. I mean, you.
Yeah, but it is so awkward.
It is.
He is so, like, trying to be somebody
out of place. Out of place. You know, ever had a teammate, and we all had him, who tried to be with the in-group and did stupid stuff to impress him? That's what he reminds me of. And I think he was either you or Doring. I forget. Maybe Doring said it. Maybe you did. He tries too hard.
Yeah.
He's probably not a bad guy. Probably. I don't think he's been successful as a coach. But Shane, here's what's important. What work one place won't always work the other. We've seen case after case of that. I mean, Doug Dickey came a million years ago with a SEC championship in his pocket, came to Florida and never turned it around, got it going, and didn't do any better, nearly as good as the 69 team in Carlos Alvarez and Ray Groves last year. He was kicked upstairs. So what worked in Notre Dame may not work at LSU. And I'm telling you, Scott Woodard is going to look like a fool if he doesn't, because he kept saying, well, I'm the big game coach. He didn't say others. He's a big game recruiter. Okay, fine. Get your coach. The fact that he passed up on Billy Napier may haunt him the rest of his life.
Let's hope it does. Let's hope it does. Cliff says here on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mental Law, some fans can't live with a 3-loss season. Some fans' expectations are too. I agree. I'm not happy with a 3-loss season, but going 9-3 is a lot better than what we've done the last 2 years, 8-4 and 6-6. My point is, at the University of Florida, you should win all the games you're supposed to win. And we have been losing those, and we got to get back to where, whether we play our best game or not, when we walk out on that field against those opponents, we win the game. Turn your car or truck into a rolling billboard for your business or brand with an eye-catching vehicle wrap from Route Spot this December. Mention promo code Shane. Receive 13% off your vehicle wrap. Speaking with Buddy Martin from The Buddy Martin Show, second portion of today's show. Get your recruiting questions ready, folks. We're going to have Blake Alderman on. He'll have all the answers. Buddy, so real quick, back to Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he acted like that, did those type of things at Notre Dame.
Not.
I think
All serious.
You know, he reminds me, and I've never met him, I think he's a good football coach, although he doesn't look like a football coach. He looks like an insurance salesman or a
car salesman. That was the exact word I was going to use. Now, listen, we don't mean to offend insurance.
No, not at all.
But he just looks like anything but a football coach.
Yeah.
Maybe an eighth grade math teacher. I don't know.
Yeah. Or a principal or something. I mean, he's a really good football coach. And like I said, nothing against those occupations that I just threw out there. He looks different, and he really looks like a fool right now with the stuff he's doing at LSU.
You look at him, and here's the old Southern phrase you think of. He ain't from around here. You know, that's what when you see Brian Kelly, and he's hurting himself. He's not help. He better keep his mouth shut. He be who he is. That's what coaches and kids want. The players and fans, be who you are. Boy, if there's ever anybody that's that way, it's your coach, Steve Spurrier. He was who he was. Now it's funny. You take Spurrier, he averaged 10 wins a year or something, whatever it was, and you take another guy, Urban, and Urban Meyer never assimilated in the culture with some Gator fans. For whatever reason, when he was here, I mean, he got in trouble in Jacksonville. He may lose his job, whatever. I sure hope not. I think he's a good coach. He made a mistake. He's paying for it. And he had a phenomenal run here. But for Gator fans, a lot of Gator fans just didn't like him. I've had big arguments with people and lost friends over discussion and see what's Urban like. And I tell them what I thought, and they'd say, no, he's not that way. They thought they had this image in their minds, and that's the way it was going to be. So the question is Billy Napier going to bridge that? Is he going to be, quote-unquote, around from around here? I say yes, because he's got the background. Shane, he grew up just like you did. Father a coach, mother an educator in the South. He understands the ways of people. He's been around and coached for some iconic coaches. So I think he will. But that's a big bridge to cross. Is he going to be one of us, quote-unquote?
I think he's just a regular old guy. I think he has a lot of the personality, a little bit of, I know a lot of Gator fans don't like Will Muschamp. Me and a lot of other former players loved Will Muschamp because he was just a regular guy. Maybe not a great head coach, but just a regular person. I think Billy Napier, you just mentioned playing for his dad, being around a high school coach, it teaches you how you're supposed to deal with people. And,
I never made that thing with Muschamp. Not that it matters to me. I'm nobody. But my radar, you know, something told me maybe it was his arrogance coming in. When he came in and threw out everything and said, we're not doing it. He meant Urban's way. Urban's way was the name of a book I wrote. We're doing it the Florida way, the Gator way. And he tried it's like the ex-wife coming to a house and taking everything out into within the lawn. You know, I don't want any of this stuff in here. I'm doing it my way. Okay, I didn't get some of that. And I think deep down he was a good guy. I never got to know Will Muschamp that well. But a lot of people I know liked him, including the HBC.
Yeah, he's a good guy. We got a bunch of questions and comments here from folks about talking about Mark Richt going 9-3 and them running out of town. How much longer a leash does Kirby have? Are they going to run him out if he doesn't win a title? Look, if I'm winning if I'm playing the SEC championship game and I got all that talent, eventually he's going to break through. I don't think he's got any issues of being under pressure at Georgia. That's just my personal opinion.
I don't agree.
You don't?
No. No, I think it's a little silent voice in there. It's really starting to get to him. And I think it's and I think Kirby's an excellent football coach. And from what I know, a really good guy. And it is his home ground. He's coaching his team. And they've had a great run. But Georgia fans are getting a little tired of hearing 1980. They really are.
Right.
And
they lose to the team that wins the national title every year.
I ain't speaking for them. I'm not speaking for them. I'm telling you how they are. That's the fact. And you can say that. But today's world, with the big money, fans are not patient. That's why I say beware. Billy Napier is going to take some time. Don't fall into that big old hole of thinking, I want it now, because it's going to kill you.
I don't think Kirby Smart is in any trouble in any time. He's at as the coach of the Georgia.
Yeah, I thought that about Dan Mullen too about a year ago.
Well, if Kirby goes 8-4 and 6-6, that's a different story. I just don't see it happening. Chris says here, gentlemen, do you all think that the Gators will want to win this bowl game versus UCF for state pride, or will it be an effort similar to the effort versus Oklahoma in last year's bowl? I sure hope we beat those guys from UCF. I don't know what to expect. I'll say this: I think it's a horrible matchup for the Gators because this is the game that, you know, UCF fans have said that Florida's dodged them when they were winning their, quote, mythical national championship down there, and they had some good teams. You know, because if you lose to them, you got to hear about it. You know what I mean, buddy? I wish we were playing Marshall or somebody, because I don't know what kind of effort we're going to have. I hope we play with great effort. We didn't play with good effort the entire year. So for us to play with great effort in one game, it will surprise me. Unless they're trying to impress the new coach.
Give me a roster so I know who's playing.
I don't know who's playing either.
Diabate is in the portal. Them. Does that mean he's not going to play?
I mean, he's done. If they're in the portal, they're done being Gators.
Well, then I don't know what kind of team will show up down
there. But here's
there.
The thing. Here's the thing, buddy. We don't know as fans if the backup may be a better player. Like I told you, when I called the South Carolina game, we could not stop South Carolina, but we made them punt twice. And every time we made them punt twice, we had our backup front seven in the game. So who knows? We shall see.
I just don't know. It's just such a puzzle to me. I got to remember Shane. I need a chart over here that tells me who all the head coaches are now, because I've lost my way on that. I need a gated roster. Who's going to play now? You know, who's an AR-15's got surgery? Who's out? It's just really hard to keep up with. And if it weren't for my listeners on every night at 9 o'clock, I wouldn't know half of stuff because they keep me informed, you know, on things. Just like you do here, you got some smart people who check in, and like guys like Dan and people like that who check in and keep you up to date.
Yeah. Dan says here on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mel Law, Kirby can go to Notre Dame and get a fake Yankee accent.
I love that.
And John was just saying he was just comparing Kirby to Mark Richt. Yeah, I understand. I think they're both really good football coaches. I think Mark Richt was an excellent football coach. And, yes, I do understand they ran him out of there. You got to remember, though, Kirby is one of them. Kirby wore that uniform. He grew up a Georgia Bulldog. It's a little bit different than what Mark Richt was. He was a kind of an outsider, so to speak.
I mean, the HBC we're talking about today, he reminded me – he got in trouble. Was it 99 when he lost three? He said, they were after me. He said, I almost didn't survive that. Can you imagine Steve Spurrier getting fired? Can you think about that? The greatest coach in the history of college, of University of Florida, one of the top five of all time, getting fired? That's my point. You be careful what you wish for and be careful how you react when you don't get it.
Don't you sometimes wish, buddy, you could go back to, was it 2000, 2001? When he decided to go to the Redskins, what if he would have stayed another 10 years? What would have happened?
Yeah, you know what? And he told me during writing the book, he said, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have gone. But he's a guy that he's not going to be anywhere where he's not appreciated and wanted. He'd had enough at that point. He didn't ever tell me the real reason he left, other than the fact that $1 million contract was a lot of money back in those days. But he wasn't getting the best treatment in the world from Jeremy. And some of the issues that he had fought you know, he didn't get backing on. And so he got a little tired of it. And he thought, well, what the heck? I'm still a young guy. I can go coach and see. And if he'd had chances, he was offered the Bucs job, as you know, prior to that. So maybe you'd have been a Buccaneer quarterback. Who knows?
Speaking of the Bucs, you know, the USFL is cranking back up this spring. I hadn't seen the HBC in a few weeks. I keep meaning to ask him. You may have asked him. Any chance he coaches the Bandits?
Yeah, there's a chance, because when I asked him again 2 weeks ago, and I've got a call into him now, looked pretty good on the Heisman the other night, Steve did. For his age, an old guy like me, you know, he definitely has interest in coaching again. And I just said, because people were saying, well, bring Coach Curry back to Florida. He said, no, I'm not going. I said, are you done? He said, well, these spring leagues are interesting because you only got to coach 4 months, and, you know, and well, I'm sure he's thinking about the Bandits. Why not? Yeah. Would that be a good move for him and the Bandits? Would you come back and play, Shane?
No, I will coach with him, though. I ain't going to go play. My playing days are over. We got a Facebook Live here brought to you by Mellon Law. It comes from Chris. He says, Rex Grossman is one of the most underrated Gators to play of all time. I think Rex Grossman, personally, in my opinion, might be the best quarterback we ever had here.
Really? Well, he's now he got screwed out of the Heisman. He really did. He should have won it. He was a good thrower, man. Your kind of guy.
Yeah, he was good. I put him and Danny as the two best, in my opinion.
Yeah, I put Danny above him. But
Rex could throw the down. Boy, he could
throw it. He could throw it
better than anybody, I think. Anybody we had, he could throw it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Speaking of Danny Werfel, before you were born, way back in the day, but I have a friend. I do a show with Rob Brown from Sidelines out of Memphis, and he's a big Auburn guy. He showed me a painting the other night. This is part that his dad did. Frank Snyder's catching a touchdown pass in the game against Auburn when Danny played it. I think he threw three picks that day. And Florida was number one and got beat by Terry Bowden. Brutal thing.
Frank Sanders goes. We had Michael Gilmore, who's now a doctor up in the Panhandle, covering Frank Sanders. I think we made a bad mistake. That's a mismatch.
There were three guys covering him. I got a painting. I saw the painting of it. He was one. There were three guys on him. He leaped up and caught that ball. That was I was there for that game. That was a tremendous throw and catch right then.
Yep. If you got joint pain in your knees, shoulders, hip, or back that won't go away, you need to check out QC Kinetics for long-lasting relief. No surgery, drugs, or downtime. Schedule for your free consultation at QC Kinetics. Give them a call, 352-400-4550. A few more minutes with Buddy, then we'll have all the recruiting info you folks need.
Bring it.
Our man Blake Alderman from Swamp 24/7. Buddy, the Hoops team loses a hard-fought battle. Had a shot to win it at the end. Appleby misses a three-pointer to win it. Did you watch the game against Maryland?
Can't watch it. There's nothing on TV. I listened to it.
You must didn't have the Big Ten Network now.
I do not.
I watched it.
Well, then you tell me. You saw it. Listened to it.
I thought we played hard. Maryland made a ton of threes that they normally don't make, apparently. But the kids played hard again, just didn't make enough plays, didn't make enough shots to win. Castleton was in foul trouble quite a bit. I thought Jatobu, however you pronounce his name, Jatobu, I thought he played well.
He had 6 points.
Yeah, he played well. So it's I think they play Saturday down in the Orange Bowl Classic. I think it's us versus South Florida, and Florida State's playing
sometime. Well, if Dan is on, Dan will tell you. He follows it closely. And by the way, the guy you ought to have on is Fran Spirit. He's Mr. Basketball for us. And he pointed out last night on the show that Maryland was so much bigger. They were like 6'11", 6'10", 6'9", whatever. And Florida went after Castleton got hurt. His tallest guy was like 6'7", 6'8", you know. And they were just outmanned, and they got in foul trouble. And Fran says they got to stay out of foul trouble. And when Castleton gets a lot of fouls and he didn't get break, he didn't get necessarily bad calls against him. He never got a good call in his favor. And he says that's the reason he lost the game. Now, he's a better basketball guy than I am. You and him, you're Mr. Basketball too. So.
Well, I love basketball. It was my favorite sport growing up. So I was a shooter. That was about all I could do.
Of course you were. I know you were a shooter. Give me the ball.
I wasn't a ball hog.
No,
I play with some really good players. So that's the problem. I didn't get to shoot as much as I should.
Everybody is a shooter wants a ball.
But the other two guards on my high school team, one went to Texas A&M and one went to Kentucky. So you think I'm getting the damn ball?
No, but you're even provider.
I was better shooters than they were. They did everything else better than me, and they were.
Oh boy! My late friend Augie Grounder, who's a great, is a classic shooter. He'd throw it off from anywhere. He used to laugh about him. He'd say, "When I got off the bus, the players were guarding me because I was going to shoot it."
Yeah. All right, buddy. So, are you excited for signing day tomorrow?
Yes and no. Yes, because I want to see what Billy Napier has up his sleeve. I don't have any information, none. I can't wait to hear Blake Alderman. But, I mean, if he comes away with, if France says he thinks they'll do 10 players, whatever, maybe, because he got the offensive lineman from he had committed to Louisiana. And the way things are cooking, the recruiters can tell you better. Looks like they might get one or two more that people don't realize. But I'm excited to see what they're going to do. But I'm not a fan of the early signing. I think it's really hurting college football, and it's really taken away a lot from the game. They got to go back. I didn't mean to rant and rave. They got to go back to the regular signing day in February or late January and get these athletic directors off the hot seat. They're throwing money around like it was Monopoly money, these ADs, and they're going to pay for it in the long run. And it's why? It's because of early signing. You can't be caught with your pants down Thanksgiving with nobody and your coach is losing and you can't find a coach. It's a real, what they call a conundrum. I think it needs to go away. One of several things needs to be fixed about college football. Still, the greatest game there is.
Yeah, I think they are going to end up changing this to a different date. There's been a lot of discussion about it, and I think it needs to happen. Before we let you go, did you watch any NFL this weekend or last night, buddy? I know you couldn't watch.
Did you last night, buddy?
You talking about two dudes that can flat out throw the football? Good gracious!
Wow, it was beautiful. It was beautiful, and I was glad to see my Rams come back because I picked them as a Super Bowl team. I'm not sure they'd make it.
The Rams and the Buffalo Bills are my two Super Bowl picks.
Yeah, well, it could be, and we'll see how that goes. But I still like the Chiefs. They still got a chance. Bills are kind of fading on you, bud.
They play
great. I mean, that Josh Allen is something else. So I watched it. Yeah, I did watch it, and I watched the back half of it as well. And a lot of Gators in that game, huh? Van Jefferson gets that big 60-some yard catch, and a lot of Gators in that game. Yeah, that was fun to watch. That was a fun game to watch, and I can't say that about every NFL game because there have been some dogs. And I feel for my friend Urban up in Jacksonville who people want to fire him. You know, he's going to have a tough go.
Yeah, they're a bad football team. I don't know what's going to happen up there. It's a mess. They play at home to Houston, a team that they played in the opener, that they might have a chance of beating, but you never know. The NFL's crazy business.
It is crazy business.
All right, buddy. Let's give a shout out to Cornelius Ingram.
Yes.
Took his Hawthorne Hornets to the state championship game. They lost a 1-point game to Madison County, who's won a ton of titles. But he's done a tremendous job for his alma mater up there in Hawthorne, and good. He's a good recruiter too. Now, don't kid yourself. He's got some players from all over the North Central Florida that gone to play for Hawthorne.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's no recruiting in high school football. Wink, wink.
Oh, boy. Well, it's legal now to a degree.
Yeah.
As long as you can get somebody to get you to that school, you can go.
Hey, if I'm a coach, I'm going to get by the legal means. I ain't going to get the best players. And Cornelius' brother coaches basketball men, boys, and he coaches women's. He's a great example of the ultimate giving back guy in this community. I love what CI is doing. That he stayed home in Hawthorne and did that. Congratulations. I was sure sorry he didn't get his first state championship, but hey, maybe he'll be back. He's turning out good players, and wish him all the best.
Yeah. And John says here, before we let you go, last night I didn't understand why Cliff Kingsbury didn't take the field goal down 10 points with 3 minutes left. He decided to go forward on 4th and 1. Yeah, that was a mistake. And then if you do go on 4th and 1, you got to understand the situation. I can't remember who the running back was at the time, but he danced too much in the hole and bounced.
Was it Connor?
Connor, just put your head down. You need a yard.
Yeah. He's strong. He's a strong runner, too.
Yeah, he's a very good player. But those are two excellent football teams. It was a fun game to watch. All right, buddy. Good stuff. Who you got tonight on the program?
Paul Finebaum.
Oh.
Yeah. So how's that for Marquee, Jack? Give me one question to ask Finebaum.
Can he draw up the 46 Bears defense?
I can. You know why? I coached it in my little league team.
Okay.
They made
I guarantee you. Yeah. Or ask Paul Finebaum if he can just draw up a 3-4 Mike okay. Sam Fire Zone.
Mike Sam Blitz. Fire Zone Blitz. Yeah. Okay.
Ain't no way in hell. My point is, has Paul ever played football?
No, but he didn't have to. He's an interviewer. Let me tell you, he's had a couple of tremendous interviews last couple of weeks. I know.
He does a good job.
You know what, Frank? Let me just give you this real quick. He had a guy on last night, Snyder from Kansas State. He retired. He had a new book out, all right?
Bill Snyder?
Yeah, Bill Snyder, who's probably the most underrated team in college football history. And coach, real quick, I'll tell you, he told the story. Listen to this question. He asked him, who had the most influence in your life? If I asked you that, Shane, it'd be easy. You'd say your father. All right. You might say, my high school coach, which is the same. So he asked Snyder this question, expecting really nothing. And he said, my mother, who was 4'9", never weighed 100 pounds in her life, worked 6 days a week, 12 hours a day, and didn't take the trolley to work because she wanted to save the money for me to go to college. Wow. I mean, that's amazing. And that's a great question and a great answer. I've never heard an answer like that. That was phenomenal. So Paul is a really good interviewer. He really is.
No, I know. I just gave him a hard time.
Write that down and send it to me. Well, whatever that was you said. 4-6, crossover.
He'll change the subject and talk about Alabama football.
Ain't a bad thing to talk about these days.
No, not at all. Good stuff, buddy. Right. Appreciate it, my man.
Thank you.
That's Buddy Martin. Thank you. You can check him out every weekday night on Facebook Live. About 9 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to take our first time out, come back, talk a little recruiting with Blake Alderman for 24/7 Sports.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp. Comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics. Live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Great Clips. It's going to be great. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor, Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parish. Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care. Gator Bait Media, Rap Spot, Okito America. Gators Dockside, Style Cuts, Big Mills Cheesesteaks. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. At South State Bank, we understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. South State has 4 convenient Alachua County locations. South State Bank, banking forward member FDIC. I want to thank Buddy Martin for joining us. Now we're going to switch gears to the Titan MR Hotline. We're going to be joined by Florida Gators recruiting analyst for Swamp 24/7. That's Blake Alderman. You can follow Blake on Twitter at Blake_Alderman. Good morning, Blake. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'll be a little bit better on Thursday morning, I think. But, I'm still here.
Well, this is a busy.
I think I'll be a lot better.
Yeah, busy, busy time for you. And a lot of Gator fans are kind of, I don't say they left out in the dark. They don't really know what's going on with recruiting, especially with the coaching change. We already got one Facebook Live question. I'm sure we have a bunch of them. John wants to know, Blake, what's the latest with Kamari Wilson?
I think that Georgia is the team where I'm leaning. It's where I've been leaning for him. I will say that Georgia has been where he's been leaning for most of the fall. Took an official visit to Florida this past weekend. I think it's a little bit closer as far as Florida standing than it was, back in the fall, back when Mullen was around. And I think a big part of that is Corey Raymond being hired from LSU. That was his main recruiter from LSU. He had a good amount of interest in LSU. pretty early on, took an official visit there in the summer. And kind of a key off-field staff hire is Jamar Chaney. He comes back to Florida from Mississippi State as a defensive analyst. Was at Mississippi State, I think, the last 2 years or so. But previously before that, he was at Florida in the recruiting offices. So he's from the, you know, the same area as Kamari Wilson, you know, went to the league, went to the SEC. So there's a lot of connections there. Kamari's really high on Jamar Chaney. So I think those hires has kind of closed the gap some as far as, you know, Florida's chances here. I do think that, you know, Kamari is one of those guys that, you know, while yes, I do think Georgia is the team to beat, I think that's where he's leaning. I haven't heard anything otherwise to make me deter off of thinking Georgia. I think that those hires were key there, and he could be one of those guys that's a little bit of a wild card. As far as, you know, there's still, you know, 24 hours until signing day really, you know, is approaching for us, and, you know, schools are going to keep working these guys over the phone. Can't get them on campus due to a dead period. But, you know, I don't see Florida really slowing down their efforts. It's a chance for Billy Napier to make a big splash, the five-star guy. But until I'm told anything different or hear anything different, I'm leaning Georgia for him.
So, Blake, you've been following recruiting for quite some time. Obviously, the coaching change, the time it happened, wasn't ideal for Billy Napier and his staff. But they've had a couple of, maybe only one weekend with kids on campus. What have you heard from the kids that have been here? The difference in kind of the way these guys are being recruited by Billy Napier and his staff?
You know, this past weekend, a lot of the guys in the off-field staff, as far as, you know, the recruiting offices, they were the ones who really kind of ran point on these visits. So as far as the itinerary and the things they did, not much difference there compared to other official visits. You know, they're still, you know, having dinner at Spurrier's on Friday night. Doing a lot of academic tours on Saturday. The photo shoots are still there. Going around and having dinner at the Swamp Saturday night up in the, you know, in the boxes up there. A lot of those things are still the same. But as far as the guys, you know, meeting with coaches and staffers and whatnot, I don't know that there's really a lot of differences. Maybe one of the biggest things is just kind of the vibe they got from the staff. You know, you're still getting to know these guys. You know, one of the things that I was told by a lot of guys that spent time around Billy Napier is that he's very to the point. You know, his messages really kind of carry some weight. You know, he's not one that really talks a lot of nonsense, was the word that one of the recruits that visited said. So very to the point, very detailed oriented. And whenever he really speaks to his plan, he has, you know, a backup plan to the backup plan. You know, he has what one guy said was an 8-point plan of, you know, how he treats the season and whatnot. So I think maybe more of the attention to detail was one of the things. You know, obviously these guys that are committed, that have been committed, you know, had a good relationship with the old staff. And I don't know that really one face-to-face meeting could probably match the, you know, the connections that a lot of these guys have built with old staffers just from taking, you know, visits for, you know, a couple times this year, if not several years, you know, with Mullen being there and a lot of these guys having offers early on from the old staff. So I don't know that there was a major difference as far as where the visits were laid out. But, you know, from talking with the coaching staff, you know, you've got a guy like Sean Washington, a defensive tackle from Louisiana, who visited last weekend. Obviously, having those connections to guys from Louisiana, you know, Billy Napier, you know, Jabbar Jalouf, you know, plenty of other guys, Corey Raymond. I mean, just there's so many guys that have connections to the state of Louisiana. So I think for a guy like Sean Washington, having those connections is something as a positive. So that was something maybe a little bit different for him as far as just, I don't know. I feel like those guys in the state of Louisiana, you see those guys, you know, if they're a big-time player in the state of Louisiana and LSU wants them, 9 times out of 10, they go to LSU. The state of Louisiana has a weird type of pride for, you know, their state and people that are from their state. So that was a big deal for him. But, you know, as far as just the visit, I don't know that there was really anything different, but definitely the connections are still being built with the staff, and just kind of the organization and the plan of attack is something that I got a little bit of a different vibe from the visitors.
We're speaking with Blake Alderman on the Titanium text line. You can follow Blake, all the recruiting news at Blake_Alderman. John's got a Facebook Live question here brought to you by Melbourne Law. He says, David Connor hinted at some surprises tomorrow. Any idea what he might be referring to?
You know, I've been doing this for a couple years now, and I've always been, you know, kind of, you see a guy that say a big surprise is going to come on signing day. These are 17-year-old kids. You know, you have guys that are on campus that, you know, could get caught up on a visit, you know, say they're coming. You know, I've had plenty of guys say like, oh, you know, we're getting X, Y, and Z, and then signing day comes and, you know, things don't happen. In my opinion, I think he's talking about a guy like Kamari Wilson, who was asked about earlier. I'm still leaning Georgia there for him. I think Florida in general on signing day, I think you'll see quite a few of the guys in the commitment class now sign. I think Devin Moore, the four-star safety, defensive back type of guy from Naples, is a guy that Florida's really in a good spot for. The Georgia defensive line commit, Sean Washington, who I just mentioned, I think that him taking an official visit this past weekend and, again, those connections to Louisiana has Florida in a really good spot for him. Kamari Wilson, I think, again, he's kind of a wild card type of guy. I'm still leaning Georgia there, but, you know, we'll see how things play out over the next 24 hours. But as far as, you know, a guy saying we'll see some surprises, you know, all these guys want to shock the world. Everyone thinks that everything's going to be surprised. And sometimes whenever things, you know, actually happen, you know, they really don't. So I don't put a lot of weight into those things. You know, I could be wrong. And if I am wrong, I'll be the first one to say that I was. But I think in general, I don't see many surprises happening on signing day.
Another Facebook Live question for you here from Dan, brought to you by Mellon Law. Having Louisiana connections are great. What about the state of Florida? Is Napier adding staff that can get that done?
You know, not so far. You know, you've got, you know, Jabbar Jalouk, who's, again, a Louisiana guy. You know, you're still filling out the staff. You know, a lot of those guys coming from Louisiana Lafayette, I think that those connections are the ones where you're seeing the connections to Louisiana. As far as the guys who have been hired so far, Corey Raymond, you know, yes, he's got a lot of ties to to the state of Louisiana from being at LSU. But again, this is a guy that's got really good ties to the state of Georgia. South Florida is another area where he really recruits really well. You know, he's been kind of the go-to guy for LSU over these last several years, have been him being on staff there in South Florida. So I think it's good for him to have those connections in the South Florida area. Obviously one of the more talent rich areas in the state of Florida. So as far as the guys that have been hired so far, that's really the one guy to me that has, you know, extensive ties to the state of Florida. We'll see how the staff continues to fill out going forward. You know, Napier still has some, you know, hires left to fill. But as far as the guys that are there now, Corey Raymond is really the one that jumps out to me, the one who has the most ties to the state of Florida. I mean, again, off the field staffer guys, I mean, you've got John Heron, you've got Keewon Ratliff. I mean, you've got Corey Bell. You've got plenty of guys on the off field. You know, even Ashur Pira, a guy who was hired under Billy Napier in the support staff role. You know, he's coached in a lot of high school areas, you know, in Ocala, Orlando, down in South Florida. So that's another guy in the off field role that's more of a new face that does have some connections there. So while the coaching staff on field right now doesn't scream to me, you know, heavy ties to the state of Florida, there are plenty of guys in the off field staff that definitely have some connections to the state of Florida.
Yeah. Titan MR text line here. Kevin asked, Shane, back in your day, was the recruitment all about these 4 and 5 stars? I don't recall it. Did it all start with the internet? Yeah, they didn't do the stars back in the 80s. We had to do faxes, and there was no cell phones or any of that stuff. We got another text on the Titan MR text line for you, Blake. It comes from Jeff. Jeff wants to know, what do you think happened with Nick Evers, the quarterback that's now committed to Oklahoma? And do you think Coach Napier will sign some quarterbacks in this class?
You know, Napier went to see Nick and his family. I believe it was Tuesday of last week for an in-home visit, you know, met with him out there. I think one of the biggest things for me, and it's what I've been told by the family, was just that, you know, when you've been recruited by an old staff, you've got new ones coming in, you know, you can be all aboard the vision. And, you know, you could definitely tell from, you know, anyone who follows social media from Nick or his family that they really like the Napier hire. That they were, you know, really interested in meeting with him some more. I had heard that, you know, during their meeting that Napier had mentioned, you know, looking at a second quarterback for this class. In my personal opinion, I think that whenever you've been told by the former staff, you know, you're the one and only guy, you know, you're going to be the only guy we recruit. I think that's something that, you know, was something that Nick, you know, really liked, being the one and only type of guy and, you know, being the future of the program. I think when you have a new staff coming in and you have them starting to mention, you know, maybe looking at another quarterback, seeing where things play out there. I think just the fact that the relationships weren't as strong with the old staff, I think there was maybe a little bit of concern of, you know, just things not adding up, connections not being there. You know, as far as I know, Florida's new staff wanted Nick. I think they wanted to look at another quarterback. I know they followed a couple guys that are in the transfer portal currently as far as quarterbacks. You know, they've been talking with some other guys that are, you know, committed to other schools that may wait until February. There's a guy named Tanner Bailey, who's a former Oregon commit in the state of Alabama that they've been talking to, haven't offered yet. But, you know, I think it's a mix of a couple things. You know, I think that, you know, again, him committing to Oklahoma, they didn't have a quarterback commit in their class. So, you know, I think that, again, that kind of backs up to me, at least, that, you know, wanting to be that one guy in the class. You know, again, quarterbacks, those are guys that, you know, it's one football. You know, Shane, you know, being quarterback, there's one football for that position. I think maybe nowadays guys are on the move a little bit more than they were. You know, back in the day, I think a lot of guys used to kind of buy into the program and, you know, wait their turn more than they do now. But, you know, I think a mix of, you know, talking about a second quarterback on top of, you know, not sure, you know, not being totally sure that you can trust these guys, you know, kind of feeling them out still, relationships still being built there after you've been told you're the one and only guy. I think that those things had a lot to do with it. But, you know, Nick is, I mean, a great family, great kid. You know, I'm happy for him to find a place like Oklahoma. You know, they obviously do a good job producing quarterbacks. He'll have a chance, you know, with kind of what their depth chart looks like up there in Norman. To hopefully, you know, you've got Caleb Williams there, who's been a stud as a freshman, but, you know, Nick could very well walk in and be a, you know, a backup as a true freshman and, you know, get some playing time early because, you know, the way Caleb's played, you know, he's looking like a three and done type of guy. So, you know, I'm really happy for him to land on his feet. You know, I think that he'll do great there and, you know, I'm really happy for him.
You mentioned, Billy Napier, them following some quarterbacks in the portal. Can you let us know who those guys might possibly be?
Sure. Dylan Gabriel, the transfer from UCF, who's back on the market there. I mean, there's been a couple other guys, Spencer Rattler, you know, who's obviously just committed to UCF, or excuse me, South Carolina is where he just committed to. Quinn Ewers, you know, the Ohio State transfer who's already committed to Texas. And there's another quarterback, Cameron Ward, I believe his name is, from Incarcerate World. He's put up a lot of stats, you know, for his years that he's been there. So I think that those are the one guys that were, you know, as far as transfer portal guys that they've, you know, kind of have been following and I would assume looking into. I'd have to probably check that again to, you know, maybe get an updated check. But as of last night, those were some of the guys in the portal that they had followed.
Before we let you go, Blake, obviously tomorrow, kind of a two-part question here. How many kids do you think the Gators sign tomorrow? And then do you think Napier and his staff will really be transfer portal heavy this year since they got to the party late?
You know, as far as guys signing, you know, Tony Livingston, the four-star kind of jumbo athlete commit for Florida, his basketball coach has told me he would sign. That's one that I'm still kind of checking into to see if he'll sign this week or maybe in February. As far as going off of what his coaches are saying, it does seem he'll sign. As far as other guys in the class, you know, I expect all of those guys, you know, the Chris McClellans, the Jamari Lyons, the David Connors, the Christian Williams, and the Trace Max, I expect those guys to sign early. Florida's three-star offensive line commit, Jalen Farmer, has already planned to sign in February. He just came off of an official visit to Kentucky this past weekend. I expect him to visit Auburn and Florida for official visits in January. So as far as commits, I think you'll see, you know, 5 to 6 guys sign early on Wednesday. Again, target-wise, Kamari Wilson, Devin Moore, and Shone Washington are probably the targets that I would keep an eye on for. I feel good on Shone Washington, still checking on the things there if that's a flip because, you know, it's never an easy task to flip a guy from Georgia. Devin Moore, the defensive back, you know, I think that Florida's in a great spot for him. He's a former Notre Dame commit. He could have been able to take another official visit to Notre Dame since he was due to a coaching change. If there's a head coaching change, you can take a second official visit. And I think the fact that he chose to go to Florida instead of going back to Notre Dame speaks a lot of volumes to me. So, again, I think Florida's in a really good spot there. So I think you could see Florida sign somewhere between 9 to 10 guys, you know, on Wednesday. As far as the transfer portal, I do think you'll see them at least attempt to go pretty heavy there. And I think that's just due to the fact of having small numbers right now. I think between the transfer portal and really kind of vetting that and identifying, because, I mean, the transfer portal last several weeks, I mean, that thing has been popping off. You know, you've got guys going left and right in there. So, I mean, you know, even after signing day, you could even possibly see some guys continue to enter the portal. After bowl season's finished up, you could see some guys enter the portal. And even as far as going in, you know, if some guys wait until spring football is over, I mean, you could definitely see the transfer portal continue to, you know, kind of continue to fill up how it has been. I definitely think that the February signing day, and I think it's just the fact that this staff has only really had a true week of, you know, being on the road and really being able to see these guys in person, because you can talk to guys on the phone all you want, but when you're a new staff and you're still filling out your coaching staff as far as, you know, the early signing day, it's really hard to kind of make the needle move on the early signing period. So I think February is where you're going to see most of the focus. It'll give them more time to evaluate guys that didn't sign, kind of set their own board, really look at, you know, more film on guys, continue to fill out the coaching staff. Let those relationships continue to be built, get some guys on campus for January for official visits. So I think between the transfer portal and February signing day, I think that's where you'll see most of the action.
Last question for you. We got it's about the same kid on the Titan MR text line and Facebook Live. Walter Nolan is committed to A&M, but isn't signing tomorrow. What's the story there? Do the Gators have a chance?
Well, there was a story that did come out that he was not signing early. Our Tennessee guys on 24/7 Sports have a really good connection with the family, and they spoke with Walter's dad, I believe it was last night or yesterday afternoon. And the dad said that that story wasn't accurate, that he wouldn't be signing early, and that he would be signing early. Obviously, we'll see if that comes to fruition whenever, you know, the facts comes in or doesn't come in. I guess sometimes that's always the final word there because, you know, the last couple of days up to signing day, I mean, it's usually kind of a, you know, crazy moment, things moving back and forth. As far as Florida, I don't see them really having much of a shot. I think that, you know, he did visit for the Alabama game this season. I think that was more of kind of, you know, just a chance to see a really good game. I think that if he did go somewhere else, you know, other than A&M, I would think probably Tennessee, just because he lives in the state of Tennessee, you know, plays right up there down the road from Tennessee's campus. So as far as Florida's chances, it's hard for me to say. I would say if I, you know, you said, you know, I need an answer right now as of today, I would say probably not. Does a new defensive line coach, if he does wait to sign, does that shake anything out new? Hard to say right now, but, you know, as far as what his father is saying, it looks like he will be signing tomorrow.
Good stuff as always, Blake. Let everybody know how they can read all your work. And y'all have any special stuff going on tomorrow?
Yes, we actually have a 50% off annual subscription going through signing day. So we have that going on too. You know, it's a chance to get a discounted membership at Swamp 24/7 to check us out and see how that goes. Swamp 24/7 is where a lot of my work is at. You know, again, you put my Twitter handle out several times under Blake_Alderman. So I'll have a lot of my content out there. It'll be a, you know, pretty busy day tomorrow as far as putting those things out. But you know, I'm definitely ready to put a little bit of a bow on this, this early signing period class and kind of reassess everything leading up to February. So, definitely ready to, not have my phone in front of my face for, you know, all day. You know, I've been getting my, screen time, you know, how much I've been on my phone notifications on Sunday, for my iPhone. And it's makes me sick how much I've been on my phone the last several weeks. So I'm looking forward to not being glued to my phone every day.
I don't blame you. Well, good stuff as always, buddy. Happy holidays, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks a lot. You too.
That's Blake Alderman. Join us on the Titan MR Hotline. I'm gonna take a time out, come back, wrap up this Tuesday edition.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co. Some of our touchdown sponsors are MB Listing, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Avera and Smith, Dowling Signs, Baker's Sporting Goods, Ruse Ogra Agent, State Farm Insurance, Silver Cube Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. This Day in Sports brought to you by our good friends at Comfort Temp. Comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. Comfort Temp is hiring, giving a $1,000 signing bonus. Give them a call, 352-376-2366. This Day in Sports, on this day in 1996, the 62nd Heisman Trophy Award went to the kid that I hosted on his recruiting visit. I'm taking full credit for him. Danny Werfel was your Heisman Trophy winner on this day in sports, brought to you by our good friends at Comfort Temp. Hope you enjoyed today's show. want to thank Buddy Martin and Blake Alderman for joining us on the Titan MRI Hotline. Today's show is a wrap, brought to you by WrapSpot. See you tomorrow, folks.
Trying to get the fans fired up. Second down and 10. Matthews rolling to his right, in trouble. Can't find anyone. Now he throws it for Harrison Houston, who makes the catch. He's in the open field. Harrison to the 20. They're not going to catch him. Touchdown, Gators!